During Christmas, we read about Jesus' birth and his arrival in this world, and how different that was. And today we have read about his departure, and it is very different. Jesus came into this world in a different way to everybody else, and he went out of this world in a different way to everybody else. And he didn't leave this world for 40 days after he died. And he left this world when he was still alive. Nobody left the world in such a manner. We call it his ascension. The church calendar has always included Ascension Day, as I mentioned earlier at the beginning. Every church, almost those who believe in the Holy Trinity, accept the ascension of Christ. And every Christian creed ever written always includes he ascended to heaven after his resurrection. And yet, surprisingly, the ascension is possibly the neglected feast in the church activities. Some people suggest it's a neglected feast because it's easy to welcome people than to say goodbye. Final farewells are usually very sad occasions, whether they take place at a railway station, an airport, or by a graveside, or in the church. We recently witnessed this when our young people said goodbye to us. Judah, Fred, Victoria. And it was sad for us to say them goodbye. I remember when we came to the Czech Republic from India, it was hard for us as well. Leaving our families and friends behind and saying goodbye to them, it was hard. So it is something of a surprise to find that Jesus' final goodbye to his disciples, far from being sad, appears positively joyful. Gone were the fears and the doubts that mingled with the joy at some of his resurrection appearances. Now they return to Jerusalem with great joy and are continually in the temple blessing God. They were happy because they were standing on the promises of their Lord. And it is something for us to think about. He fulfilled every promise he made. And the scripture also says that you have a cloud of witnesses from the history. And you need to just think about the promises, and he never fails. He's always faithful to his promises. They were happy because they knew what he said is going to happen. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. I'm going to prepare a place for you. So they were happy that what he said is going to happen. In the Gospel of John, chapter 16, verse 7, Jesus said to his disciples, "But I tell you the truth, it is for your benefit that I am going away." Your benefit? Having Jesus with us would have been wonderful. But he said, no, it's not good for you that I should stay here. I should go. And it is for your benefit that I am going away. Unless I go away, the advocate, the comforter, the helper will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. And if we have to choose, we would like to have Jesus, of course. But the disciples were happy because they were excited. They were eager to see the new companion. They returned to Jerusalem with great joy, because they were eager to receive the third person of Trinity, the Holy Spirit. They were looking forward to having the Holy Spirit. How about us? In 10 days' time, we'll be celebrating the Pentecost. I'm sure when we believe in Christ, He sends His Holy Spirit in our hearts. Sometimes we realize, sometimes we don't realize that. But He is always with us. So, what can we learn of the two accounts, both by the Gospel of Luke, of the event we know as the Ascension? One brings the story of Jesus' earthly life to an end, and the other opens up the story of what happened next. In Acts chapter 1:1-2, we read, "In the first book, O Theophilus, I have dealt with all that Jesus began to do and teach until the day when He was taken up." The small but important word "began" signals that Jesus' ascension does not mark the cessation or termination. It's not the end, but the continuation of His work as the Lord and Messiah. That's what Luke's second book is all about, the acts of the risen Lord Jesus Christ. They're not acts of the apostles, they are the acts of the risen Lord, I mean, the Holy Spirit working among His disciples, which He works from heaven through His people by the Holy Spirit for the accomplishment of God's purposes. Paul, in his epistle to the Ephesians, goes on to describe how Christ first destroyed the power of hell and to hold people captive, then completed the work by entering heaven, taking His place of highest honor in glory. So friends, the ascension tells us that no part of the universe is barred to God. No authority or power that is not subject to Him. When Jesus was on this earth, He was limited by space and time. But He's not limited now. That's why He said, "It is good for you that I go away." And now, we even discussed on a Tuesday Bible study that it is good for me to go to heaven and send the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit is available to every believer now. Resurrection and ascension belong together. If there was no ascension, we would know that God raised Jesus from the dead, but have no firm hope for ourselves and no knowledge of what ultimately happened to the risen Jesus. There would be rumors. You know, as we know, there are sometimes people spread rumors what happened, to Jesus. But the ascension completes the incarnation, the second person of the Holy Trinity, who took human flesh and was born among us, has taken humanity into heaven, opening the door for us to enter heaven too. Now, it's good news for us. The one who rules the universe is not some spirit being. It's a human being. Yes, fully God and fully human. The gospel account of the ascension brings Jesus' life on earth to its fulfillment. Luke implies that it was not just the 11, but also their companions who witnessed the ascension. When Jesus took them to Bethany, the place where He experienced so much hospitality from Martha, Mary, and Lazarus, there He blessed them and withdrew from them into heaven. Just as Luke's gospel began with stories of blessing and joy, so it ends with joy. It began with heaven opening and divinity coming to earth. It ends with heaven opening to receive humanity. Acts tells the same story as the first chapter of a new story, that of the church. Here Luke summarizes the resurrection appearances into the phrase, Jesus presented himself alive to them by many convincing proofs, and then focuses on what happened to the disciples. Jesus promises to them of the power of the Holy Spirit and the commission to be his witnesses. Then a cloud, usually in the Bible, a sign of the presence of God, the shekinah of God, the glory of God, removed him from their sight before two men, perhaps angels, appeared to ask them why they were staring towards him. From today's gospel passage, we also learn that Jesus spoke to his friends of the promised Holy Spirit. The focus shifted from the second person of the Holy Trinity to the third person, and Jesus' friends became his witnesses. The ascension is the work of the triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, whose love reaches out to all creation. So while the ascension is about Jesus returning to heaven, it is also about a new beginning for all who follow him. So ascension is the beginning of the mission of the church, anticipates Pentecost, which we celebrate in 10 days' time. The ascension of Christ gives us the assurance of our faith that what he said he fulfilled, and he will fulfill that he said that I am going to come again. Each of us is challenged by Jesus' ascension to be witnesses to the wonderful works of God who has raised Christ from the dead and seated him in the heavenly places. The ascension led to joyful worship and service for the disciples. The consequence of Christ's ascension translated for us is to be his witnesses wherever we are and to the ends of the earth. In the name of God, who is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.